Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house. The talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Drewski?
We do indeed.
How you doing, man?
I'm just intrigued by some of those calls up there. I went on a the eighth grade algebra teacher up there. I just went on a giant like tour of my own eighth grade brain for a second there. It's weird.
Yeah.
Can we take that call? Real
sure.
Quick? Yeah. Because I'll tell you what I was thinking.
All right. That's line four. Yeah. Tim. Wait, you're saying her.
I know. I thought it was in my head. It was her because that's who I went to in my brain.
And dudes don't really teach eighth grade. Algebra. Go ahead, Tim. 35, Chicago. What's going on?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Ace. How's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
So I've been a teacher for around 12 years now. I've taught all over the world. And I'm at a private school here in Chicago, and they call themselves a progressive school. Mm-hmm. And that leaves me a lot of leeway. It's a pretty healthy environment as far as good kids, and they want to do well, and they want to work hard. And I've talked with some other teachers at other progressive schools around the country, and they do not give grades at the end of the semester. They just give a report that would say how the kids are doing and what progress they've made. And in some ways, that kind of makes sense to me, but there's this traditional side of my brain that's like, well, you got to give them a grade on it.
Yeah.
So
here's what my eighth grade brain did when I was at a semi-progressive school. At that point, Little Roy Fauntleroy was considered itself progressive. Mm-hmm. And they decided to do away with grades, same as you. And then they were like, well, we got to have some kind of assessment. So I'll tell you, let's call it honors, satisfactory, and unsatisfactory.
And did they have that?
Yes, they did, all the way through my middle school years.
And wow, I believe the first I heard of this.
Oh, and then what do you think started happening very soon after they instituted the HSNU system? Well,
honors,
satisfactory, and unsatisfactory.
Right. Now, we had that behind our grade.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Like ASS. Ray would always get one in PE. Mr. Walters would give him an ASS, A, satisfactory, satisfactory. He just wants to spell ass.
Right.
But yeah, I would get FUU, like FU.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah. There was a satisfactory, unsatisfactory, and something, whatever. There was like a middle one. Was like,
But well, very quickly, H minus came around, S plus came around.
Oh, right.
S minus came around. And me as an eighth grader, I thought to myself, the fuck do you people think? How stupid do you think we are? We know we're being assessed. Of course you have to assess us. But right. You're being so cool and so hip. And by the way, why is a word, a paragraph assessment different than a numerical assessment? One is just a little bit easier to manage, but it's the same thing. Kids know if you get a glowing report – that's the same, it's an H.
No, look,
as a kid that gets a sort of average report is an S.
A means excellent.
You don't have to give the report then. We
well,
understand.
That's my whole point.
And by the way,
like,
to quantify
just write excellent.
And by the way, when you leave it just to the subjective experience of the teacher, the kids are like, oh, he liked me. He didn't like her. Whatever. This is insanity, in my opinion.
Go,
it's
Drew.
Insanity.
Go, baby.
Kids want, they like, they use. The rest of their life, they will be using some sort of quantitative assessment procedure. If you want to be a little loosey with, the ranges or whatever, or be good, easy on them, fine. That's your prerogative as a teacher. But to not have to kid yourself that by using one assessment scale over another, somehow you're doing something markedly different, I take great issue with that. My eighth grade brain took eighth grade issue with it at the time, and I take great issue with it still.
My eighth grade brain, which was reading at a fifth grade level, is still pissed.
Of what?
I don't know. Whatever you said, dude.
You're getting behind me?
My eighth grade brain was reading at a fourth to fifth grade level.
And you're pissed about that?
No, I'm mad about this algebra
business.
Yeah,
okay. Tim, there you go. My thoughts on it, but do as you please, of course.
You'll be happy to know that I gave my final this morning, took the afternoon off, and went to the Cubs game. So
there we go.
Yeah, teachers, heroes, lazy heroes. Like if Superman was super lazy, that'd be like teachers. Like if he didn't fight crime at Gotham, but instead he collected all his sick days and then went to Cancun.
How dare you?
That's like teachers.
How
like
dare you?
Heroes?
How dare you?
Lazy heroes. Heroes don't want to work.
I'm going to work at a brewery this summer, too. Eh?
Heroes that normally don't like working for 3 months at a time. But all right.
Good job, man.
In a micro, bro. We love you, Tim.
All right, Tim. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
All right, go Cubbies.
Yeah, there you go. I should go to the next PTA meeting. Lazy heroes. Come on now. Put your hands together for these heroes that are kind of lazy. They're heroes, not 40 hours a week, just kind of lazy heroes. Heroes that don't enjoy work that much. Okay. But lazy heroes. Hey, put your hands together. These are heroes who are lazy. Mm-hmm. Just like firemen, heroes who retire with their full benefits and full salary at 50. Like just imagine just retiring. The other thing
just
I love
imagine retiring, period.
Oh, the other thing I loved about this press conference I was watching, I don't know who the guy was. But
you didn't talk about this on the air
Nick
yet.
Mulvaney.
Nick Mulvaney.
You were before the mics heated up. You were telling us about it, I think.
Oh,
so you have
sorry.
To tell us now.
Yeah. Sorry. Nick Mulvaney. Yeah. There's a couple things he said at the press conference I enjoyed. One of the things he said was, I'm in the government. I work for the government. I got a 401k and a retirement fund. All you guys, anyone here have two retirement accounts? And I was like, no. He's like, well, then why should we have two?
Yeah,
a lot of people don't have. I don't know what mine is. Mine is whatever I make. Why do you get two? You work for the government. Oh, let's say we have the one I was talking to you about with the about compassion.
Yeah. Is that this one?
Yeah.
Okay,
first one.
It.
Sorry.
I thought it was 44. I'll take your word for it on 42. It is. I think the high was 47, and that was during the recession. Pre-recession, the numbers were as low
million.
As 28. It spiked during the recession, okay, which you would expect on a counter-cyclical program like food stamps. During bad economic times, more people will go on to food stamps. So it's completely within reason to look at that number. It went from 28 million on food stamps before the recession to 47 at the height. It's 44 or 42 today, yet here we are 8 years removed from the end of the recession. We've had economic growth, albeit slow. We're at what we consider to be full employment with the limitations of U3 and U6. Why is the number still that high? Is it possible, if you're paying for it, isn't it reasonable for you to at least ask the question, are there people on that program who shouldn't be on there? And shouldn't it be up to the government to make sure we can look folks who are paying the taxes in the eye and say, you know what, we did everything we could to make sure that everybody on SSDI is really disabled. We don't think that's unreasonable. In fact, we think that is the definition of compassionate, a compassion that is balanced between the people who get the benefits and the people who pay them. Yes, ma'am.
There it is.
I wanted to blow the guy. I want 8 years of nothing even close to anything that's ever made sense at all to me. And then this. I was like, yes!
Who's that guy behind the podium on his knees?
That's Ace Man. Yeah. You want round two? Look, all these people are like, oh, boy, you know, Trump's an animal and stuff like that. It's like, maybe he is, but I've been wanting to hear this for 8 fucking years, just normal. Look, when it's a recession, more people are going to go on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now we're out of the recession and we're still got a lot of people on it.
Doesn't
don't you
sense.
Think it's our job to find out if some of those people shouldn't be on it? Right. And don't we owe it to the people who are paying in? Yes! Of course! How about compassion for the working couple that's having trouble making ends meet and giving away
too much in taxes? And by the way, how about the debt that's going to burden them one day soon if we don't get on that?
Fucking this guy, Mick Mulvaney, he was excellent, by the way. He should just do it full time. And if, yes, that's the he's making case. He's not going, oh, no, no, nobody deserves her. Hey, lift yourself up by your bootstraps. He's going, no, it used to be this number, 26 mm-hmm. million. Then it got up to like 47 million. And now it's pretty much still up there. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Yeah.
The recession's over. What's up? And he even said, albeit economic growth is slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still shouldn't be up here. So let's go find out.
No, now, I'm sure
it'll be written in the New York Times that Mick Mulvaney hates poor people. I'm sure that'll be the headlines. But what that guy just said to me is all I've wanted to hear for 8 years. Let's just run this. Let's be as efficient as we can. If you need this, then you will get this. But if you're capable of working and you don't need it, and you're possibly committing fraud, well, then you shouldn't get it. So not only are you not going to get it, you shouldn't get it. It's morally, it's not right for you to get it. It's not one is a 10 and the other is an 8. No, one's a 10 and the other's a 0. You do not deserve morally to get this stuff if, you, in fact, you don't need to.
That's the headline.
That's the title when before you click on it.
Oh, it's awesome. Meet Mick Mulvaney, the Trump goon who wants poor kids to go hungry.
There's a few that popped up. I just typed in exactly what your faux headline was.
Wow.
What these fucktards don't realize is nobody's listening to them anymore. They go too nuts with stuff like this. You just heard a guy lay out a very reasonable and
do people know the difference anymore?
No one listens anymore. That's anything.
Are they listening to him?
A racist now and see if it means anything.
Are they
anymore.
Listening to him?
I was. Yeah. I just turned on the TV and there he was. I was like, yes, he's exactly right. What are we doing? And what about the compassion for the people that are paying for everything? Shouldn't we be thinking about them just a little bit? Why is there, for the last 8 years, there's been a war on the people that are paying for everything. Like, you live in Los Angeles, there's a war on the people who pay for everything. It's never sat right with me. I'm wildly insulted by that. I hope you are.
It doesn't make sense to me, but this does. Protecting your home, simply safe. That's right. That makes sense to me. In the past, it was not easy. It should be easy, but it wasn't. Installation, appointments, drilling holes, getting locked into contracts. Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, Safe. Comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online. And each system is a security arsenal. Comes in the mail. Entry and motion sensors, high-def security camera, everything you need to keep your family safe. Just slap it up. The batteries last for years. It moves with you if you move out of that particular facility or house. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection and named it the editor's choice for home security in 2014. If you order today, you'll be protected by the end of the week. And you have monitoring. I love the monitoring aspect of this. And you can get 10% off right now if you go to Simply Safe Adam. Simply Safe, two I's, S-I-M-P-L-I-S-A-F-E, Simply Safe Adam. .com and order your Simply Safe system. That is simplysafeadam.com.
All right. Mick Mulvaney is director of the Office of Management and Budget. I love the idea that someone is just going, why are we spending all this? Well, we should not be spending money we don't need to spend if we don't need to spend it on fraudulent accounts.
Not only fraudulent, but it's as you know, Bill Clinton, you took the position many years ago that it's not healthy for people. It's bad for them.
Of course. It's horrible for people, just like it's horrible for animals. Don't feed the bears. They got to learn how to hunt. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Why we take compassion and turn it into the opposite of that. And we're basically like you saying to your kid, eat jelly beans for breakfast and never study because I have compassion. Well, of course you'd go, oh, no, you're going to ruin that kid. His teeth are going to fall out. He's going to be a Dumbo. He's going to get left behind. Right? And then someone would go, where's your compassion? And you'd go, what do you mean? Are you nuts? And they'd go, no, but he struggles in school.
You want him to starve to death.
I'm holding him back. Yeah, and it's like, oh, you know what's going to hold him even further back? He doesn't show up.
so interesting. There's so many things on the left right now that are dichotomous, or that don't, you know, they want you to let the kid eat jelly beans, but they don't want diabetes. You know what I mean? It's like, we got to fight diabetes, fight obesity, but we can't make somebody hungry. They can't be hungry.
Very interesting. One of the things I loved Prager talking about on my show is, and something I like listening to him on his show, is the left versus progressive, or not progressive, I'm sorry. I screwed that up. The liberal, meaning I've been confused for a long time, which is like, I feel liberal, but I don't feel left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been saying liberal and left parted ways a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, most people don't think that way. They think liberal, lefty. No. I'm liberal, but I'm not left. I don't, he said, I asked him for an example. He said, race. There's a liberal thinks race shouldn't matter, shouldn't be factored into it, and everyone should be treated by the content of their character. That's it. Left is, oh, you get an assigned race, and then you go out and sort of live by it. You get whatever you get out of it. You get shoved in this group. You get special this because of that or that. Everything is about your race. Left is, here's the ultimate non-racist remark. Who cares? There is no race. It's just good humans, bad humans. Let's move on. That's it. That's a liberal thought versus a leftist thought. All right. We got a phone call up here.
Love
now, wait. That Mick also, what was the other one I liked of him saying that I was talking to you about?
I'm sorry. Mick or Dennis?
Mick.
I'm not sure. I was busy trying to find that clip.
I was about to go off on him talking about compassion that way and taxes, and I can't remember, or subsidies or whatever it was. But God, I was right about to get into another one.
No,
no,
you didn't. You did. There was a little something you hinted at about.
You were starting to talk about something, and I mentioned that I had the compassion clip, and you never finished your thought.
Yeah, yeah.
What was I starting to talk about,
dude? Let's take a call. We'll think about it.
All right.
Five.
Yeah. Hey, Eric. What's going on?
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I've been listening to you guys for a while. I'm a big fan. Adam, I came to see you when you were in Boston last fall.
Oh, thanks.
And Drew, I was actually just listening to your podcast on my ride home from work. From a couple weeks ago, I think you had a therapist from the Betty Ford Clinic, and you were kind of in the talking about the opiate problem and addiction.
Hold on, don't be a tard. I was telling you about 401ks and
I was just, I was going to answer something easy so we could let our brains kind of percolate on the other thing. No.
I said out loud. He said, "Why do I have
the two plans,
retirement
yes, the two
and
plans.
401k? Anyone else here have? Why do you guys always make me feel like I'm eating crazy pills?
No, we said you had some. There was something.
No, you're about to say something, but you never said it because it cut you off with this.
No, I remember there being something.
I'm sorry. I said I didn't hear because I was editing this thing.
All
so
right. Drew, don't make me kill
no,
myself.
No, I said there was something. I said I'm not sure. I don't think there's something.
No. Revisions. Go ahead.
But I didn't know that was you.
I yelled it out loud.
Yes, okay. You did talk about the 2-4-1
care. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Eric. Find that clip, Gary.
Anyway,
I've got
it kind of struck a nerve with me because I'm a pharmacist, and I was a retail pharmacist for years, over 10 years, and I saw the opiate crisis every day. It was balls deep in it, basically.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, Drew, I want to pay you a compliment just in how I'm amazed at how you are able to see addictive behaviors and not, probably not verbalizing this well. I would go into work every day and be surrounded by addictive behaviors of patients.
You have to not let it be any more shaming or stigmatized than if you had somebody with a sore throat standing there saying, "I have a fever." Right. It's the same thing. It's just part of their disease.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It just personally, the way that I'm able to deal with it, or I guess not deal with it, was I'm just, their manner is just very annoying. Like, you can't, And in the moment, I would do nothing but just be aggravated and annoyed by these patients. In retrospect, or in outside the situation, I'd always be able to say, like, that's their addiction. That's their dependence.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how you're able to, I guess, see it in the moment whenever I've watched you on Celebrity Rehab.
Well, and
or,
to be fair,
know,
yeah.
Barry show.
To be fair, I have a whole team around me, and I can sit and appreciate that they're sick, and I know that it's somebody who's working on getting better. And even I lose my temper. I guess it's a disease that's very frustrating. It'll make you very frustrated. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I guess about 6 months ago, I made kind of a transition to a specialty pharmacy, so I deal basically not at all with controlled substances anymore, and I'm just dealing with different populations.
Cool.
But I've just felt very, almost like just guilty all from having been in that environment for a long time, and I feel guilty like having like left the people that I worked with, and I mean, my job now is so much more rewarding, I guess.
Yeah.
But I still kind of have these feelings like of just, I guess, guilt. I don't know what else to, how else
well,
to call it. Almost like a survivor's guilt. Like,
yeah, it is kind of a survivor's guilt. That's really interesting. But I would say, if you want to make a difference, I don't know, help with legislation in New Hampshire. It's where you're calling from to have some sort of system in place that captures these guys, or start encouraging your peers to report to physicians that are excessive prescribers, so at least they get on somebody's radar. And but there's not a lot you can do as an individual person. I mean, that's why I'm not doing it that much day in, day out anymore, because it just got overwhelming. I got tired of my peers killing my patients. That's what I got tired of. I'd fight to get them off. They have no pain. They feel great. Fast forward 3 months. Somebody would go, oh, you have back pain? Oh, you should be on this. You were fine on it before. Let's get back on that. That Oxycontin.
I got a problem with peers killing my patients too. Where it's like, are they delivered the tile to San Diego? Because that's where it is. Jesus Christ, would you listen to me? Please, says that's peers killing patients, right?
It's a little different. Spelling,
how many times do I have to describe this to you? I'm looking for my goddamn tile. What's it doing in San Diego?
Killed it. You were patient and then it was gone.
It's doing just fine, boss. All right, we got this clip of Mick as my Mulvaney's my new. By the way, this guy's funny, and he's succinct, and he answers the questions. He should be the
press secretary.
He's the business. He's the budget guy. But well, here it is. Sorry.
Can you talk about the provisions affecting federal employees and how to strengthen your plans to strengthen the federal government?
I'll deal with federal. Let's talk about federal retirement, because that's gotten a little bit of and that's one of our largest changes. Simply put, we try and make federal retirement closer to the private sector. So we've increased the contribution that they make to their 401k programs. I think on one program we got rid of a cost of living adjustment that was there. But keep in mind, those are folks who will also be participating in Social Security at the same time, which is a cost of living adjusted. So we thought they were common sense reforms to try and bring the federal government benefit programs closer to the private sector. I'm a federal worker, okay? I have a pension and a 401k. Raise your hand if you're in the private sector and you have a pension and a 401k. My guess is, oh, maybe one did.
No.
Did you really? In the back?
Nobody
okay,
did.
All right.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
She wanted to ask the next question.
They're asking the question.
So we're simply trying to get some common sense back into
okay.
that program.
So, yeah. I know guy's a fireman. And he's telling me he's when he turns 50, he's going to retire full salary for the rest of his life. And I ask you this, who amongst us has that option? And then if the answer is we don't, well, then why are we paying for him? Why are they a little bit closer to what we're dealing with? So the government is so weird, because it's always like, hey, those guys should get everything they want all the time. Yeah,
why?
Where's our stuff?
Why?
Why? Exactly why? Most of the guys who took the government route just sort of they took a little step. They drove off a side road that was a little more like, I don't feel like.
Yeah, they're smarter than the rest of us.
Well, they are if they're getting, they're retiring at full pay at age 50. Yeah.
Think about that.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but imagine if you just stopped working and your income just stayed the same.
It'd be nice. All right, let's see. Let's talk to 19-year-old. Who's all right, someone. Yeah,
this guy wants a frog.
Yeah. Eddie, 24, L.A.
Hi, guys, and thanks for taking my call today.
Sure, man. Thanks for hanging out. What's going on?
So I just have a quick I just want you guys, for both of you guys, input on some issue I've been having for the past 3 weeks. Just a quick rundown. So I started playing music with somebody I just met. She's really nice and stuff, so she wanted to hang out just outside of, like, you know, band situation, stuff like that. Long story short, we do. We also drink. We end up hooking up, but no, like, we end up not having sex. So after that, we hang out two more times. Same results happen, but we never have, like, an official title to each other. So last week, she told me that she wanted just to be friends, which I was, like, completely fine with. But when I asked her why, she pretty much told me that she didn't want to ruin the good things in her life at this moment. So right now we're friendly. We're good right now, but I just don't really know how to feel about this. And I have told her my intentions, like, hey, like, I'm interested in you, but, like, I don't know. But she keeps telling me, like, oh, she doesn't know. She's very confused because she has a very extensive past. Like, she ran away in high school. She's been hospitalized for, like, suicide attempts, mental issues, anorexia. Hacks actually gone to rehab, AA and NA, but she still drinks, like, casually. And then one thing she also I noted, she tells me that her past relationships have been very codependent. And the last thing, she's been in abusive relationships before, physically and emotional. So we're like, and like, I don't know, it's just so weird that I'm attracted to her because I'm like total opposite with her.
Well, even if you forget the fact that she has chronic psychiatric illness, she's a severe addict who's on her way to relapse, she's been in domestic violence relationships, and she will find them again unless she does a lot of treatment on a regular basis.
Oh, she's a captain in the Mexican Lowriders gang as well.
But you can take all of that out and forget all of her background and all of her psychiatric baggage and just look at your relationship, and she's just not that into you. She's up for a friendship. I would take her at her word.
Clarity. You guys got drunk and screwed around, hook up, and then you said the same, but was there any – there was never sex?
No, there wasn't. But, okay. I mean, it was just all like lust.
She's been very clear. We can be friends.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Don't.
I don't care. Any woman says that to you, take her at her word. You can't come back.
Yeah, that's
from
what I was just thinking.
Yeah, but
sorry. Like, I was just thinking. Oh, sorry.
Hold on. There's a movie called The Money Pit, made before you were born. The great Shelley Long in it. Tom Hanks, and they just didn't have the ability, the capacity, the know-how, the expertise to fix this house where things just kept going wrong. This is a penis pit. You don't have enough in the junk department to ever really fix this.
But she doesn't even want
– and she doesn't want – and it's not for sale.
Right. So, you can't buy this penis pit.
You can't buy the penis pit. I talked to the broker. Not being listed. So you just take your little toolbox and bring it to another project, but hopefully one that just needs a fresh coat of paint, maybe some carpet, not a full termite-infested remod.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I can't do any better than that. So I get the big bucks, right, sir?
You have to drop the mic.
Drop it. Walk away. I can do no better than that. So I will just go to ZipRecruiter. Hiring. Posting in one place, not enough. Oh, no. You need the perfect hire, and you need to post to all the top job sites. ZipRecruiter. Post to 200-plus job sites, including Facebook and Twitter, with just one click. Find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. And just post once. Watch qualified candidates come rolling on in. No juggling calls or emails to the office, no. Used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Do it for free. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. All right. Let's see. Drewski.
Oh, yeah.
Go to AdamCarolla.com. You want to learn anything
about more things.
Where we're going to be.
How's the K-Rock doc going?
It's going, man. We got Jimmy last week. We got Rodney.
I talked to Kevin and Bean this morning. They said they did 4 hours, and they feel like they just scratched the surface.
It is
poor
a lot.
Nate.
It's
poor
a
Nate.
Lot. Poor Nate's going. He's going at it over there.
Yeah.
You can check out. We're doing a Reasonable Doubt town hall with Mark Garagus. We're doing live podcasts in Irvine and Oxnard. Just go to AdamCarolla.com. I got Bar Crawl coming up. I got No Safe Spaces. Just go to my website. Yes, Drew.
Yeah, go to drdrew.com. Check out all the family of pods there. God, I feel like that pharmacist that was interested in the addiction thing. Let's check out This Life, and sometimes me and Spaz, some of those pods too. We get into the addiction thing a bit. So
Spaz is finding his footing.
We're training him.
You tell him I said at this pace by 2071,
he might have some.
He'll be a C-.
Yeah.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soda Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Carolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.